Welcome, everybody. We got Cody, the man of the hour here. What do you teach that, Cody?
A living sacrifice to God.
Oh, a living sacrifice to God. So I'm going to pray for him and let him do his thing. So, Father God, we just thank you for this day, Lord. And, Father, we just thank you for Cody's sacrifice, Father, to put himself out there, Father, to speak your word, Father. And may your spirit be upon him, Lord, that it may be what you want him to say, Father. Not what we would want him to say or what he would want to say himself, Father, but let your word come forth, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, so the scripture I've been given was Romans 12:16. If you guys wanted to go there, it's the only verse that I'm doing. But the verse itself, it says, live in harmony with one another, and I want to just stop there because that's not the whole verse, but I wanted to analyze that first part of it. And you think of harmony, when you hear harmony, I don't know, for me personally, I've never looked up the definition, so I just kind of thought, oh, it means everybody's getting along, everything's just happy, and everything's A-okay, no big deal. Like living in harmony, if I don't like Ray, I'm just putting up with him, we're in harmony. You stay over there, but don't get in my space. Don't ask me to do anything, Ray. Don't ask me to teach. Nothing. But I tolerate you. That was actually my thought of harmony, like just getting along no matter what. And Paul's writing in this, and I thought about it, and I was thinking, why would Paul tell us that? What's the importance? Because there's importance in everything in the Bible. Why would Paul tell us to live in harmony with one another? And I thought about it, so I looked up harmony and what it meant. And it's not like the Donovan definitions. I'm not breaking it down that deep. But a couple things it said that hit me was, one was an interweaving of different accounts into a single narrative. Whose narrative are we talking about? God's narrative, right? We're all interweaved together, our lives, to be a part of God's narrative, God's great plan. And another thing that was cool, too, as you guys all know how Taylor sings, and one thing it actually had was it said, in relation to music, it's the combination of simultaneous musical notes in a chord. So I thought about that, and I was like, that's pretty cool. I mean, if you relate music to us, actually, and we're each our own individual music note, God puts us all together to make this beautiful song in life. And it goes so much deeper than that, too. I mean, you can look at harmony as a body. You can't have, everybody's heard, you know, like we're all the body. Someone might be the arm, someone might be the eyes, someone might, you know, be different pieces. But think of if the body isn't in harmony itself, and if I'm trying to walk forward, but then my legs are doing something funny, I'm not walking out the right way, you know? Or if my mind's telling my arms to do something different, it's distracting, you know, if I'm going like this the whole time. It's in perfect harmony. God has it to where our mind controls everything, and God would be our mind. We're supposed to be in harmony with God. If we're in harmony with God, then we can look at how to walk out our lives, right? I mean, could you imagine, in relation to music again, could you imagine if there was a song and Taylor has, you know, you can really hit a high note. But could you imagine if the whole song was nothing but high notes? If Taylor was just screaming her lungs off the whole time? Do you think that'd really be a good song? No, there's different parts of it. There's soothing parts of it. People add their voices in at different spots. Ray's going crazy up there on the bongos and everything. Everybody has their own different role, but it all comes together as this masterpiece, basically. And that's how we're supposed to be in this body. It's not just living in harmony as, oh, Donna came to this breakfast this morning. I can't stand Donna. Why is she here? All right, I'll just have to put up there. I won't look in her direction. No, it's actually, we're a family here. We really are a family. And when things get tough, and that's why Paul's telling them this. Paul's talking to us and everyone else. When he's saying this, he's saying live in harmony with one another, because it's not going to be easy to live in harmony with one another, but he knows it's basically a command. Because if you're living in harmony, you guys are stronger together. We can help each other move through things. I know my family's a little crazy. I actually just told my mom the other day, I said, we're a little crazy sometimes. I said, but there are crazier families out there too. But no, you know what? You can't get rid of your family. You're stuck with your family. Because at the end of the day, you all love each other. And the church is no different. Just because we're not blood related doesn't mean you can just toss this family to the side. Just because someone offends you, just because somebody gets on your nerves or you don't like something that they have to say, it doesn't mean you can just pack your things up and leave that easily. I mean, you can. Watch what happens. We're here for the long haul, guys. We're here not just for ourselves, too. You know, we're here to build up this church. Every time I start a teaching, I always have to remind myself, and it's no joke, I don't want to get too wrapped up in just that scripture itself, but I always want to think, what's the main goal of the entirety of the Bible? To build God's kingdom, to save people, to show, to be Christ-like on this earth, to show people God's love, right? It's not about our own personal gain. It's not about living in harmony and then just trying to push people off to the side. But the scripture says, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And one part of it actually says, too, if I can find it, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. And I thought about it, too, because when you get a teaching, it's not, I mean, it is for everyone else, but we've always said the people that learn the most are the people that do the teaching. So when I'm looking at this, I'm trying to think, how do you want this to relate to me, God? Like, I'm a nice guy. People think I'm nice. Taylor knows it's a lie.
We all know it's a lie.
Can you turn his mic off, Ray? But no, going forward, so we have that part on living in harmony, you know, as a body, as the music, as the masterpiece. But Paul knew harmony in the body unites us to accomplish greater things together. And one thing that I thought of instantly was how my mom has always been preaching Nehemiah in the family. Actually, Ashley knows. She talks about Nehemiah so much. I think she has notes like this on just Nehemiah. And she has like a filing cabinet for Nehemiah. And every time she brings up the walls and the gates, I'm like, here we go again. I know the story of Nehemiah. But no, there's so much you can get out of that that it's ridiculous. And I thought of Nehemiah 3. And what's funny is if you look at Nehemiah chapter 3, it's one of those, in my mind, in my worldly mind, it's one of those boring chapters. Like, and the Mott family did this part of the wall from here to here. And the Rodriguez family did this part of the wall from here to here. And they just keep going on and on and on. And you're like, I don't care who these people are or why they did the wall. Why is that even important? So when I was younger, I used to skip over that. I'm like, well, there's that boring chapter. Why would he say that? Like, why would he tell us all those things about the different families building the wall? And what I got out of it and what God spoke to me is, if we're living in harmony with one another, like they were, an immense amount of work was at hand for them. They had to build the wall, they had to build the church, they had to build the kingdom of God to protect themselves, but also to be a light to everyone else out there in that world. And that should be our goals at this church. We should not be seeking out personal gain. We should be seeking, even when it's hard, to be in harmony with one another, because I'm sure there were families that were probably working right next to each other and they couldn't stand each other. I'm sure. I'm sure there were people that didn't like each other in that own community, but they all united for a similar purpose, to build that wall, just like we should unite and work together to build this church. And one of the greatest things, I don't know about you guys, I don't like working harder than I have to. Union people hate it, and they have a saying in my union, I'm sure it's in every union, but they're always like, smarter, not harder. And I remember when I first got in the trade, and you don't have a lot of knowledge in the electrical field, so you're sitting there, you're running, you're trying to get everything done, I'm like sweating, and it's looking like I'm doing a lot, and the one guy's just looking at me, and he's like, dude, smarter, not harder. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you're killing yourself, and you're actually not even doing anything. He's like, take that piece of pipe down. Let me show you how it's done. Don't worry about that. And then you end up learning different things and how to work together. And that's what we do. It's just me and this one other guy that we work together. Can you imagine? Taylor knows there was a time where we weren't in harmony on the job. And the job suffered. I mean, how long did I complain? I wasn't good about it. I did complain a lot. I think every day I called her on my way home from work. How's work? Another day. It was all right. I was not in harmony with this guy, and I literally told her, I said, I feel like nothing is getting done. I don't know what I'm doing. I think for 3 months on this job, it was a whole new company. Didn't know anything about this specific part of the electrical field. It wasn't like lights or anything else or big power like I'm used to. It was controls and these tiny wires, and I'm getting frustrated because I don't know if you guys know me, but my hands shake all the time. So imagine me trying to have these little tiny wires, and there's this little spot that you got to stick it in, and it's like the size of a decimal point. And then you get like one strand off of the copper, and it just like, ugh, you got to keep pulling it back out. So I'm frustrated. This guy ain't helping me. He ain't doing anything. And the bosses are calling me like, what are you guys doing out there? Nothing's getting done. We can't send you help, but you guys need to pick it up. So as time went on, though, I started to realize what he was doing. I'm like, this guy never helps me. What he was actually doing was he was leaving me with all the tools to succeed, and he was giving me everything. Just like God left us the Bible, he left us this church. Everything that he left us, his kingdom on earth, is for us to take a hold of and grow, just like Mike did. Mike's my boss. He would leave me the blueprints, and I would just be like, well, I've never looked through blueprints, so I don't care. That's his job. He's a foreman. And then all of a sudden, I looked at it, and I'm like, maybe I could actually look through it and try and figure out what it's saying. And I stopped making excuses for myself, and I figured, how can I work better with him? And what he was doing was he's teaching me how to succeed on my own and not basically be babied. Because as an apprentice, you can be babied. They can teach you, like, don't worry about it, I'll just do it. And what Mike's doing is he's saying, when you're out there in the world on your own, basically, when you become a journeyman, you get your license, you are on your own. One day you're an apprentice, and you know nothing, and you're stupid, and then the next day you're supposed to know everything. And he told me, he's like, that's a scary thought. He's like, you have to remember that. When you become a journeyman, he goes, you're on your own. They don't want to hear, I don't know this. He's like, and what separates you from everybody else is the hard work that you put in and how you try to move forward and be a better electrician. And I thought, that's the exact same thing. If we're working together, if we're living in harmony in this church, and we're building each other up, we're teaching each other other things, but people are taking the initiative on their own, right? They're not getting babied. I mean, I love how the church has actually been picking on the younger people to teach. There's no reason that young people can't teach. There's no reason that we don't have something to offer, right, Sammy? They're not babying us anymore. It's time to mature. It's time to grow up. Another thing, too, is, like I said, the burdens are lighter when everyone works together. It actually is easier. Could you imagine Ray trying to run this whole church by himself? He shakes his head no. Can you imagine if Esther and Fred had to do not only the kitchen, which is a nightmare, I'm sure, because I hate kitchens, but just the kitchen, and then they had to go and take care of the bathrooms, and then they had to hurry up and make sure, Fred, I'll clean these dishes, you get over there and make sure Pastor John's on point with music and you control all the sound. You know what I'm saying? It would be a disaster. You can't do it all on your own. You got something to say, Fred? Oh, Sammy's just getting coffee. I thought he was walking over to hand over the mic. That's why God put us here in this church, is to work together as a family. If we're not in harmony, this church is going to fall apart. You might fool yourself. That's the biggest lie from the enemy. Thinking you can just tolerate someone and go to church and be like, I'm not looking in their direction. They irritate me. I'm not even talking to them. I know what they're all about. You can fool yourself and think that you can just tolerate someone and that the church can still go on, but it's like a cancer. It'll rip the church apart from the inside. And that's exactly what the enemy's trying to do. It's all lies. If you literally humble yourself, like, and when I'm saying this, I'm not like talking down to you guys. This is all stuff that I went through. I'm honest. I used to joke with my mom, and I was like, you know what, Mom? We just don't like people, do we? I'm like, no, for real though. We're literally just like, my dad will just be like, hey, be like best friends with everybody, and I'm like, stay over there, Ashley. I remember what you did. When I'm no better, You know? And that's actually leading up to the other part in the scripture too, I'll get to later about being haughty, but you guys see what I'm saying? Does that make sense, or am I just blabbering?
No, actually making a lot of sense, Cody. I think in, because actually I got a scripture on down the line in my teaching. Mm-hmm. It's don't take revenge. You know, leave room for God's wrath. But so I've been reading pretty much the same stuff because it's all connected.
Right.
You can't do one of these things without the other.
Exactly.
But what come to my mind, because you kind of touched on it, is, you know, as a family, we're going to have conflict with each other, you know, maybe slightly or maybe, you know, a lot. But it's not, I look at it, it's not that, even though we don't want that conflict.
Mm-hmm.
It's how long are you going to hold on to it?
Right.
You know, that's where the humbleness comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we going to dwell on it and we going to let it hinder our walk or, you know, or both our relationships for years? Because it can go on for years. I mean, myself, I hold grudges for going on 20. Now, one, you know, and I had to really look at myself like, you know, I still don't like this guy. You know, I can tell myself he don't matter to me, you know, but Lord, bring people back.
Right.
And then you got to look at yourself in the mirror and like, you know, this you still got a problem there,
mm-hmm.
you know, with unforgiveness, you know, or, you know, and I'm like, just stay away from me and we all good, you know. I mean, basically, and that's, I think that's our worldly mindset, you know. If he's over there and I'm over here, then I don't have a problem with him, right? Because I'm not dealing with him, you know. As soon as he comes in my area or I got to deal with them, then I'm more or less, all right, just don't talk to me then. You know?
Right.
Just stay, you could, you know, I'm looking at your face is enough, you know? And I'm just like, wow, I might have a little problem. I have to get with the Lord on this. But, yeah, like you say, Cody, it's, you know, we have to humble ourselves to a certain extent. Not to be punching bags, but still, we got to be willing to, you know, to extend ourselves with a grace that God gives us.
Right.
You know. Amen. And if they receive it, then they receive it. If they don't, then you've done your part.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I look at it. You know, so that's it.
So Fred's basically touching on the rest of my notes, so I'm just going to pack it up and leave.
I just got something else to add.
Go ahead.
Well, first of all, Fred, thank you. I was wondering why you haven't talked to me lately. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think what he said is true, and I think all of us have done that to a point. One of the things that we miss out on is that when we do have anger towards somebody and we hold on to that, we forget that they have a side of the position too. And we miss out on what their side is and where we are falling short. So here we have a lack of communication, and then all of a sudden you're on a project with that person and you decide to bring it up and they say, well, no, that's not, you forgot this part. And then you see where you fell short and then you understand a little more. So you did all of that holding on to anger for absolutely nothing, and many times we learn that it is our fault. So that kind of teaches us, you know, even though you may not like somebody, they may have some information that you need about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done this firsthand with her. No, I'm just kidding.
So Romans 12:16, just to refresh, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Or if in the NIV, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. So now I look at that next part, and I'm wondering, simple, I know what that means. Associate with the lowly. Don't think you're like better than someone else. That's obvious, right? But it's not always like the lowly as in there's a poor man over there, and I'm just, ooh, man, I was at a Red Wings game last night with JT, and you're like sidestepping around all these people trying to get through the streets because they're just all coming at you. And when I think about it, it's, I actually saw this guy talking to one of them, and I couldn't hear everything he was saying, but he's talking to him, and he's actually just encouraging him, and he was giving him money. What he's using the money for, it's not our problem. It's just the fact that he's there helping this man. But literally, people walk by him like he's invisible, and I don't know what his life is. I don't know what he did. I don't know if you want to say that he deserved it or whatever, or someone lowly deserves the position they're in. But let me tell you something. We're lowly to God. It says that we were basically detestable to him. Don't you see in the Bible? I mean, yeah, we're God's children, but doesn't it say how we're wicked? It doesn't say a third of you are wicked, and then there's some good guys in the mix. I don't care if you look at everyone in this room and you think, Sandra's just a sweetheart. She's real nice. Fred Ray's shaking his head no. Ray knows the truth. No, but to God, it's all the same. We're wicked at heart. So what elevates us to a higher position than anybody else? What makes us better, right? But also in a different way, too, I looked at it, how this affects people. I mean, how can you draw someone in the family? How can you bring someone in here? Because that's what we want. We don't just come here just to hang out on Sundays, get a coffee and a donut, and say, I'll see you later. When we go out, we're supposed to be drawing people in. We're supposed to be the light in the darkness that makes people see something different and go, what's that over there? And then walk to it. We want to bring people in, not just keep this a tight-knit group. And I thought, if you're haughty and you're looking at people like you're better than them or like a criminal or someone like that, or, you know, you're just thinking that, like, man, that guy's a fool. I don't want people to see me with him. Now, I'm not talking about associating with people's actions. There's a difference there. You can associate with the lowly and then not partake in their actions. But how are you going to draw people in when I put this here? It says, you have an insulting attitude. An insulting attitude of people who think they're better, smarter, or more important than other people. What makes people want to come here if you're treating someone like that? What's appealing about that? What makes you any different? I mean, why would someone want to come to church? And to be honest, that's why a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth, because the church is full of a lot of people that are hypocrites, and they look down on other people, and they don't show them that love. Right? People are left with a bad taste in their mouth, so they don't even want to give church a chance. But we're supposed to show that we're different. You know, and it says, like the musical notes in a song, there are differences in all of us, but all of equal importance to the song. Someone might sing a more beautiful part, but if something else, Taylor's noticed sometimes where if something was off in a song, she's like, I noticed that was off. I'm like, I didn't even hear. What was off? You know, but she knows. She knows when there's just like this one little thing that's off, and it affects how she hears the song. But like Fred was saying, how I said he was stealing my notes. You know, when we're humble, that's being usable to God. Because that's what we're supposed to be, is tools for God on this earth. If we think we know it all, or we think we're too good, you know, or like Bob always jokes around, if he had the word from God to go to Hawaii and preach to people, he'd be running to the airplane and ready to go. You know, but you go to a lowly city or something like Nineveh or people you hate, then it's like, I don't want to go there. You know, being humble is usable to God. That's what he was trying to show Jonah. Humble yourself and go to those people because you're no better than them. You might hate them. You had good reason to. But guess what? They're still my people. Just like you're my people. Just like God gave us a chance, right? We all weren't born into this earth a great Christian. You know what I'm saying? Some may be raised in the church from a young age, but a lot of us came from the outside in because of someone drawing us in, right? Someone showing us that attitude that we should have. And I got one scripture. I lied to you. I have another scripture. Luke 18, verse 9 to 14. And it's a parable. It's Jesus talking. So it's like a parable that Jesus was talking about two men praying to God. And it says, parable of the Pharisee and tax collector. Verse 9, then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. He said, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not like the other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. Sounds like he thinks he's better than everyone else, right? Yeah, he's tithing. He's doing what he should do. I mean, he's not robbing, stealing, cheating, so that makes him better, right? I mean, he's not doing those terrible things in the world's eyes. Nope. And then it says, but the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even to lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. And then Jesus said, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And that's what I really got out of, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. I mean, there can be different ranks and positions in society. But don't you find it funny that some of the people that have the least are some of the happiest people you have ever met? Really? And then you look at Hollywood and you look at all the people that supposedly have everything that we want, and they're committing suicide or they're just like on drugs, they're not happy, they're always chasing after everything, they're like bizarre, you're like, why are they acting like this strange person? Like, why are they doing that to get attention? It's because it's never enough. You know, we shouldn't lust after a position or rank. We should live in harmony with one another and recognize that we all have a different role to play in this house. And that it doesn't make us any better. Like, Pastor John, Pastor Don, they do a lot for this church, but that doesn't make them any more usable to God than what Sammy can or what the young row boys can be. Just because you're young or in high school doesn't mean you're not usable to God. Right. Anybody can be used by God. My little brother Brady doesn't even know what he's doing, and he's used by God when he sits there and he's looking through his iPad and he's bawling, and my mom's like, why are you crying? And he's listening to a worship song. He's sitting there listening to a worship song and bawling his eyes out. Me and my dad are like, jeez. Kid needs to be toughened up a little bit. But you know, he was used by God because my mom was so touched by that that she realized that innocent spirit that he has, that she just, it was the most beautiful thing she's ever seen, just seeing her child be touched by God. And that's encouraging to her. But going on, if you go back to Nehemiah again, you know, in the matter of talking about the gates, how they had status in society or their different powers of position. For example, they had different gates. There was the dung gate. Let me tell you something. I'd rather be working at the fountain gate than the dung gate. I wouldn't want to be over there. But let me tell you something. If everybody said, I don't want to be a part of the dung gate, I don't want to do that, it's a nasty job, I don't want any part of being over there, I want to be a... Why does Ed always get the cake jobs? Ed always gets the cake jobs. He's always doing the cool stuff, leaning back, chilling, drinking his coffee. You know, why does he get that? It doesn't matter. We're not supposed to ask questions what God wants us to do. We're not supposed to sit there and be like, why do you want me to do that? The only questions we should be asking him is, how do you want me to do it? Right? Because if someone had a haughty attitude and they thought they were too good for that job in the kingdom, because everything God asks us to do is important. We might not see why it's important. We don't know. It doesn't make sense. But everything is important to God, and he has it all work out, just like how it said, harmony, interweaving of different accounts into one narrative, God's narrative. If they built every single gate, and they did a miraculous feat, and they had the wall built in 52 days, why? Because they lived in harmony with one another, they worked together, it lightened the load, it made the work easier. But if that one person didn't want to do the dung gate, guess what? All that works for nothing because there's an opening right there for the enemy and they don't even have a gate that they have to go to. They walk right in and destroy everything. Every single person had a specific role in rebuilding Jerusalem. You know, and it says in Romans 12:16, back to it, the other part was, do not claim to be wiser than you are. Okay. Sammy, why do you think we shouldn't claim to be wiser than we are?
Because we're dumb.
What's that?
Because we're dumb.
He's really, you know, really humbling himself.
It's kind of funny, though, because I work with a lot of people in the factory, and their perception of Christians is that, you know, they're better than everybody else, or they think they're better than everybody else. And, you know, I've gotten discussions with guys many times, and they're like, well, you're just a goody-two-shoes Christian, you know, this is this. And I'm like, dude, you don't even realize my mindset. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, you realize that I know I'm jacked up. I got a lot of flaws, and that's why I need a Savior. And he's like, or, you know, they'll respond by, yeah, because you're a wretched sinner. That's what you are. I'm like, yeah, thanks for reminding me. I'm like, but at least I realize I need a Savior. I said, what do you need? And they're like, well, I got everything together. And I'm like, and I'm the one that you think is prideful, huh? And it just kind of throws it back on their lap and, you know, makes them realize it takes a lot of pride to think, you know, you're good in your own eyes. You know, mm-hmm. Whereas Christians, we're supposed to reflect on the fact that we need a Savior.
Now, could you imagine if we all thought we were the wisest people in the room? Imagine a world where we all thought, like, we got it figured out. We've arrived as Christians. We know all. I know God. I got a relationship with God. I know what He's saying. He wouldn't have me do that. If everybody had that attitude, because that, think of it this way, actually. Have we ever had a moment? I know I have tons of times, and I actually joke around with my mom, and I'm just like, does it ever make sense with God? No. Like I was like, I don't know why this is happening. And then she'd just be like, you just got to keep trusting God that it's going to work out, and you got to be one with Him and ask Him what to do. Don't think you know, like, because you look at a situation and be like, it makes no sense why I'd be going through this. I know better. I'm wiser. I know that there's no reason that this should be happening. And we don't even see the whole picture. Have you ever went through an extremely difficult time and then you look back and people, and it just makes your skin crawl when you're going through that moment, and people are like, it'll get better with time. Just keep pushing on. And you're like, oh, shut up. I don't want to hear that right now. I just want to be left alone and be angry by myself. But that's us trying to be wiser than God. We think we know a better way. We think we know a better way to build the gates of Nehemiah. We think we know a better way to build this church than asking Him. He sees everything. When you've worked through something very difficult and you look back and you're like, man, when I was in that moment, I had no idea why this was happening, how it was going to work out. It looked bleak. There's no way. But then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, that makes sense now. Now I see. That's why I went through that. That's why God allowed that to happen. That's why I was there at this exact moment with this happening. Because God sees everything. He's the wisest one. He's the only wise one in reality. And that's why when Paul's laying this out to his people and he's telling them this stuff, live in harmony with one another. Why? So you guys can work together better. You can accomplish greater feats. You can encourage each other. You can build each other up. The work's easier. If you had one person building the wall in Jerusalem, it'd be done. Unless God did a miracle with one person. But they worked it together and they rebuilt it in record time. You know, but do not claim to be wiser than you are. And then it says, think of Solomon, okay? Wasn't Solomon the one that prayed for wisdom, if we remember? He asked God for wisdom and God gave it to him and God made Solomon the wisest man on earth. Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. And even though I tease my dad and I say, he knows everything. He's a doctor, an electrician, a plumber, a carpenter. There's nothing you can get by him. He knows it all. Solomon was the wisest one. And what happened to Solomon? Does everyone remember? Thought he was too wise. There was a time there where he got all his wisdom and he was still humble before the Lord. and he was successful, and God blessed him greatly. And this is one thing that we have to be careful with is, you know, and not trying to be haughty, looking down on everyone, associating with the lowly, you know, working in harmony. And then the last part, do not claim to be wiser than you are, because why? The moment you think you're wiser, you open the door. You open the door for just a slow fade. It's never going to happen immediately. You ever look at something and then you finally realize, like, how did I even let that happen? How did I even let that get so far where that person bothered me that much? Or, you know, you break down and some people cry and it's just like, man, what was I doing? Now I see. You know, because Solomon opened that door and it was a slow fade for him. It wasn't like he allowed sin in his kingdom. And then right there, lightning and rain and hellfire and everything came down and just destroyed him. He had chances to humble himself. And God warned him about these women. And he committed polygamy and he had multiple women. He allowed that in his house. Why? Because he made an excuse. I love them. I know what love is. I love them. I love all of them. I want all of them. You know? And that was the slow fade. It slowly started to creep in into his kingdom, and then it became acceptable. Why? Because he was committing it. Everybody else can. I don't care what you guys do. If you love him, yeah. It's all about love. You know, and it crept in, and it slowly destroyed his kingdom and him, and it was his downfall. The wisest man on earth was tricked. Why? Because he thought he was too wise, and he no longer needed to look to God. He made a compromise in that one thing. Just one thing made a compromise. And it opened the door for the enemy to destroy him. And that's how it is with this family. Why I'm saying we should live in harmony with one another, because trust me, I was the one person that, like I said at the very beginning, if there was someone that irritated me, you stay away. And God was showing me through this, Cody, you got to work together with your family. You got to work together with every single person in this house. Why? Because I have a greater plan. I want you guys to work together. I want you guys to work through hard times as a family, because it's never going to be easy. We're going to get offended. But guess what? Suck it up. Like I tell my brother when he's crying about other stuff all the time, I'm like, man, suck it up. And my mom's like, no, it's okay. And she'll hug him and pat him on the back, and I'm like, Dad, you see what she's doing? It's that spineless punishment. He's good. And then we always joke around because Ellie's like the brute. Ellie's like this little tiny blonde kid, and she got, really quick, she ends up getting, I'll tell you a story. She goes to McDonald's with my grandma, and there are like these 2 9-year-old girls, Ashley's laughing, there's these 2 9-year-old girls. Brady's the kind of kid where he'll just bawl over anything. And then Ellie's the kind where some 2 9-year-old girls, mind you, she's 4, and this one girl pushes her at McDonald's in the ball pit or something, and she starts throwing haymakers and starts swinging at all of them. She's like, you're not going to push me around, and starts taking them out. And then she comes home. She had a little bit of a scratch on her eye or something like that. And I'm like, Grandma, what happened? And she's like, you should have seen the other girls. She goes, Ellie got pushed, and she didn't like that. And she started beating the crap out of these kids that are twice her age. And they ran to their mom and started crying. That girl's crazy. But no, back to being serious. You know, I'll just end it with this, guys. Try your hardest to really look at everyone the way God looks at us. Because we were the lowly compared to God. And he gave us a chance. He died for us when he had, basically, he shouldn't have, if you look at the world's standards. He should not have paid the price for a bunch of fools like us. Thank God he did. So the least we can do is do what he asks and live in harmony with one another and try and make things right between every one of us in this family. And I know that I've been irritated by people before, but if there's something that's bothering you, or if there's someone that's bothering you, make it right. Work it out. Humble yourself. Don't think you're wiser or better or look down on someone and be like, well, it's their fault. Work it out. Like Dan said, there's a lack of communication. there needs to be communication within our families. Why? So we can work together. Why? So we can look at the one goal that's important. What's the one goal? Building the kingdom, building this church, drawing people in. Be in the light, like I said. Allowing people to see that there's something different here, that we're not your stereotypical Christian, and that they want to come here. That's all I have to say, guys.
Cody, I want to add something real quick as you were talking.
Sorry, I talked too much.
No, it's okay. The other night, it was around like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was up praying. And I'm laying in my bed, and I looked toward my husband. And my husband, and I'm always messing around with my husband, because every time we're going to play a board game, dominoes, whatever it is, I hate to play with him because everything is about strategy for him. Like, he has to win. There's no losing, right?
Sounds
and he's
like my
like,
dad.
Mitzi, that's no fun. Why are you going to play it and think about just having fun? You have to win. That's what makes it fun about the game. So every time we're around couples and we're going to partner, I'm like, nope, I ain't playing. You got to get another partner because I'm not doing this. And that night as I was praying, I looked toward him and God said, who do you think gave him that strategic mind frame? Who do you think built that in him? Mm-hmm. And I started to, like, bawl and cry. And he, like, woke up, and he's like, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm just praying. Just go back to bed. But it made me think, and he said, why do you think I put that in him? That's for you. That's to help build you up so that I can get you to what I have for you. And I was like, whoa. I have taken that ability and that gift that God put in him for granted. And I just twisted it. And I started to cry, and I started to thank God. I said, wow, you created that in him for me? And it made me just appreciate that so much more. And as you're talking about being in harmony, it's about seeing the gifts in others. It's about appreciating that gift that God has given them to help build you up. Because that's what it is, right? We're to build the church. We're to build each other up. And it made me think about, I have to stir that gift inside of him. Because that's a gift from God. And so that he doesn't forget that that's one of his strengths. I have to be able to say, babe, thanks. Thanks for that gift, you know? And I immediately, the next day, I was like, babe, I just want to say I'm so sorry because I've taken that for granted. But it makes me look at, self-reflect, what gifts do I have that I'm not putting into action? That could be helping Esther. That could be helping Donna. Wow. Or what words have I heard? You know, Donna and I have talked about her healing, and God has reminded me, and I've had to share that with her, because God allows us to hear or see these gifts in our brothers and sisters so that when they don't believe it or when they don't see it, we can stir it up in each other. And that's how we're going to build this kingdom. You know, I also thought about, like, legions, right? A legion of demons. How many is in a legion? Why do they call it a legion? Because they stick together, because they're united. Mm-hmm. But here as a Christian family, we can't stick together. That's why they accomplish what they accomplish. But if we were to stick together, see each other, the good in each other, and build it up and stir it up, we would be a mighty force to be reckoned with, right?
That's right.
Probably our country wouldn't be what witnessing what we're witnessing now. Our homes would be different. And so let's encourage each other, even though sometimes we might not like each other. It's okay. Not everyone's going to like each other, but we have to respect and appreciate the gifts that God has given to each other.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it any better. That was really good.
Good job, man. Amen. Good job.
You want to have Joe pray?
Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for Cody's message today, and I pray that we'd all learn something good from it and take it home. And I pray that this service will go well. In Jesus' name, amen.